Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey friends, family in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you so much for praying for us and for sharing the podcast. It's getting out there, and it's not me. All glory to God. I do want to call your attention to a very important book that's coming out in just a week or so, and it's called The Care and Counsel Handbook. It's a quick reference guide of biblical answers for 100 real-life issues, and it is put out by Hope for the Heart. And we want to bring in Dr. Eric Scalise. He's our guest today, President and Chief Strategy Officer of Hope for the Heart. And he's currently serving also as a president of LIV Consulting, LLC. He's the former senior VP for the American Association of Christian Counselors and former department chair for counseling programs at Regent University. And we're thankful for his time today. Dr. Scalise, Eric, welcome to Worldview Matters. Good to see you today.
Hey, thank you, David. It sounds like I've lived too many lifetimes.
Yeah, you've been around a while, but you've got a lot of experience I think you can share with the audience. So right off the top, how did you get connected with Hope for the Heart? I remember listening to Hope in the Night, you know, I mean, many, many years ago. What a phenomenal program. So how did you come to be with Hope for the Heart?
Yeah, Hope for the Heart was founded by June Hunt, who really is an iconic figure.
Yeah, amazing.
David, I've been in the people helping space clinically, ministry-wise, academically, as a life coach for 45 years now. I like to tell people I started when I was 7, but that wouldn't be true. And I hold 3 licenses in mental health, but I've always had a passion for the church and for equipping everyday Christians to make a difference. And I knew June maybe a good 10, 11 years. And there was an opportunity to kind of partner with her and engage with her a little bit more on the ministry side of this space. And I just felt like God said, hey, this is your next assignment. And I'm joyful to partner with her. I told June, you know, God has used you to mine gold out of the scriptures for 3 decades. That's what this book's about. Yep. And I said, I think God brought me here to make a little jewelry out of it.
Yeah, it is amazing. It sounds like a very much needed book for today. Almost every issue imaginable that's tackled in here with answers, biblical answers. And I just want to mention the website if you guys are not familiar with hopefortheheart.org, hopefortheheart.org. And my goodness, you've got so much in your background and the work that you've done. Can you share a little bit more about the mental health issue is really important today, I think, for a lot of people, and because of the problems that our youth have, and there's so many variables to that, and maybe we can get into that in the podcast. But I know you've done counseling and you've done so much work in this field. Can you share a little bit more?
Sure, David. I think COVID was maybe a trigger event. I often say if COVID was the earthquake that shook the world, the mental health issues that followed was the tsunami. And the tsunami is often worse than the original event. And we've literally seen every mental health issue tick up, not just in the United States, globally. And whether pastors and churches and ministry leaders want to acknowledge it, feel comfortable with it or not, they have to deal with it. And we should bring God's word into the conversation. That's why we're so excited here at Hope for the Heart to see the release of this book, because it does that. And I'm a big believer that it doesn't necessarily take someone with lots of letters past their name or a degree to make a difference. The church, capital C, can and needs to be engaged in helping people find Christ, find biblical solutions, and come alongside. I mean, that's what a paraclete is. That's what the meaning of the Holy Spirit means, is to come alongside, to walk with someone.
Yeah.
And I think a resource like this hopefully accomplishes that mission.
Absolutely. I mean, just the basic idea that's hard to apply, but loving God and loving your neighbor. Why do you think the church, I don't want to say the church got off track, but shouldn't the church be the place where people can go for biblical answers, for biblical counseling? I mean, you and many, many, many others have taken up that mantle, but shouldn't the church be a place where people can go? Why are they not equipped?
Well, 100%. I think there are a couple reasons. One, you use the word like psychology. People often think, oh, you're talking about Freud or that weird stuff. And they think that none of that is good. None of that has merit or meaning, which is not true. There are a lot of discoveries in the sciences, physics, chemistry, that were done not necessarily by God-fearing people. We just discovered a little bit about God's creation. It's no different when we're talking about behavior and emotion, although people who don't have God's word have no idea what to do with it. Mm. And so it's important to bring that in. That's one. Two, I think there's been a bit of a stigmatization still about Christians and people of faith wrestling. We people think I should be able to manage my thoughts or my feelings. And, you know, if I feel a little worried, a little angry, a little depressed, it becomes a faith issue. And it's what's wrong with your faith. And I wish it was that simple, but it's not. Yeah. And so part of it is educating pastors and ministry leaders that this is the purview of the church. There are people sitting in those pews every Sunday that need help. Yeah. And part of the ministry and the Great Commission is to attend to those that God brings into your orbit.
So I wasn't planning on asking this, but we're kind of going down this road when we talk about the church. A lot of pastors, I think, deal with a lot of issues themselves, and maybe they aren't asking for help, or maybe they're embarrassed to ask for help, and so they don't feel equipped to counsel someone else dealing with similar problems. Your thoughts on that?
All right. So you have a pastor's background, right?
Yes.
So when you think about your call to the ministry, David, did you feel primarily, and you think about your call, to counsel people, or
no,
was it to teach and to preach?
Teach and to preach.
Maybe to disciple. So there are very few pastors I've met who don't feel a similar sense of their calling. God brought me here to preach and teach his word. And if you're honest, if they're honest about it, they go, I wasn't even trained in counseling. Mm. I don't even like it. But here's what the research says. 75% of people of faith, when they're in crisis, guess who they want to talk to first? Pastor. Mm. And if the pastor doesn't feel called, doesn't feel equipped, doesn't feel comfortable, and maybe not even like it, then what do you do with it? And I can't tell you how many times I've had a conversation with a pastor. I say, listen, pastor, trust me, there are people in your congregation who absolutely feel called to walk alongside the wounded, the broken, the hurting, those who are just confused with questions. Equip them, give them the tools and resources, and they can help you pastor the flock and fulfill their calling while you're fulfilling yours. And a book like this, a resource like this, is designed just for that.
That's
to equip
great.
People who do feel called to come alongside and to hopefully provide good answers and good resources to the person who may be struggling, him or herself.
So I don't have the book in hand because it's coming out in about a week or so, September 9, and people can pre-order on Amazon or wherever you get your books. Can you give us a couple ideas of a handful of the topics you address? I mean, there's 100, right? Did I say that? Did I read that somewhere?
Yes, there are 100.
What are the big ones?
Anxiety, anger, depression, suicide, bullying, marriage, parenting, and then there's things like worry, hope, forgiveness. So they're not all like these serious mental health issues. There's plenty in there. Domestic violence, childhood sexual abuse. But then there are things like everyone may wrestle with fear from time to time, or a little bit of worry, or a little bit of anger. And so it's topics and issues that are relevant to life. Some of them are greater life challenges, some less so. So it really covers the gamut of what it means to have 2 feet on this side of eternity at any given point.
So out of the description that I received, it says millions of Christians go to church, small group, and have a devotional life, but they just don't know how to practically apply the Bible to the struggles they face. Now, they might have a surface level understanding of what Scripture says, but it's a difference from understanding what the Bible teaches to applying it when you need it. And it sounds like this book is a great handbook to help people along those lines. Would that be right?
Absolutely. One of our sort of taglines here at Hope for the Heart, David, is biblical hope and practical help. A little bit tongue in cheek, but June would smile and say her middle name is Practical. And so these chapters in this book are a fraction of a much larger resource. So one of the topics may be anxiety. Well, we have an entire 100-page book on that that goes way deeper. This is to give you like enough to deal with, but it's not just scripture. It is biblical principles, but it's like, you're exactly right. What do I do with it? How do I do it? What's the next step? Because it's not only just praying. Maybe it's like, hey, you need to talk to someone. Maybe you need to sleep a little bit better. Maybe you need to go ask somebody to forgive you. There are very practical steps as well as the biblical principles that go with those practical steps.
So in just a minute or two, we're going to dig into some specifics. One of them, I like one of the questions on midlife crisis, but there's some very specific things that the book deals with. But I want to give you an opportunity over at hopefortheheart.org. There's books, courses, media, training, and events. Is there anything specific you'd like to highlight, Eric?
Well, we do. We see part of our mission is to equip the body of Christ, both those who need help directly because they are struggling and wrestling with an issue, as well as those who feel called to help those individuals. And so we have designed a lot of training courses. We have an annual conference that grows every day. Matter of fact, we did a one-day symposium that we have every June. It's Called to Care. This year it was on mental health in the church. So we're stepping into a lane that, you know, will people be okay with that? Well, we had over 1,200 people register and participate in that event. It tells me, yes, the church is ready, needs to deal with that. So we talk about providing a complete system of care. This book and the Keys for Living that they're based on is a component of that system of care. But we have other things. You mentioned June's Hope in the Night radio broadcast. We have a wonderful podcast called Hope Talks where people tell their hope stories. We have events. We have training. So we're trying to think of all the pieces that might make a difference and help people.
Well, I've got a list of people who have endorsed the book: Gary Wilkerson, Dr. Robert Jeffress. We've had Nick Vujicic on this podcast. Also, I think I saw Pastor Jack Hibbs. We've had him on this podcast as well. Sheila Walsh, a lot of them. And Sheila said, if you've ever struggled with how to apply God's word to real life problems, this book is for you. June Hunt and the Hope for the Heart team have created a truly life-giving resource that points people to the hope found in Christ, and that is the Care and Counsel Handbook. Eric, we're going to take a brief pause. We'll be right back, friends, on Worldview Matters.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily, world news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
So So Dr. Eric Scalise is our guest today, author, professor, counselor, therapist, president, and chief strategy officer at Hope for the Heart. So let's get into some specifics now. I know the book is a lot about relationships. Anxiety is a huge issue that affects our relationships. But I want to jump to one about the midlife crisis, because I think people have a misunderstanding of what that might look like or feel like. So how does God speak to an individual that might be struggling with something midlife like that?
A lot of times people get to that season in life and, gosh, I like to look in the mirror and think I'm still in that season. Maybe not, but people begin to analyze and evaluate, have I made a difference? Has my life counted? Have the things I've engaged in, whether it's been in a career or a ministry or in my loved ones and family, have I moved the needle? And that's a pretty common thing. And for people who wrestle with that issue, they do sometimes struggle. Have I made a difference? Is there mission drift? A lot of times for people of faith, they may have a sense of calling and purpose, but maybe they've drifted from it and they're in a little bit of crisis and are trying to reevaluate and realign themselves maybe with God's call. And so it can produce some anxious thoughts. It can actually sometimes lead to some less than healthy behaviors and choices as people try to compensate or overcompensate for being a little bit in crisis. With the aging of America in particular, I think it's a common thing that you're going to see people who wrestle and have to work through some. It's a transitory transition period in a person's life.
What about examples of God healing lives? I'm sure you have many that you can think of.
Yeah. God's word is transforming, and truth is truth. And the scripture says, you know, his truth will set people free. And I, as a counselor, I would often try to speak truth into someone's life, but I'm also a believer in the priesthood of the believer. And sometimes it's our own ears that need to hear our own voice speaking truth over us. And if we can arm people with biblical principles and God's truth, that they can start speaking it over themselves as well and meditating on that truth, it can be life-changing. There has been a lot of research over the years now on the whole impact of faith and physical, emotional, mental health, and relational well-being. Dr. Harold Koenig out of Duke University is probably one of the pioneer researchers. All the research supports the notion that faith is almost like the secret sauce. The secular world discounts it, doesn't often want to deal with it, but the science, the research would say it is a difference maker. And so we have to get people what they need in terms of biblical truth.
So what about back to the church now? Because there's so many things that we could work on as the body of Christ in America. What in general, I know you can sum this up, what things is the church doing well as far as addressing issues with people that are hurting? And what does the church need to work on? What issues are they not so good at?
I think at least at some level, more pastors are attuned that they have to address some of these issues that are going on in their congregations. That's good. I don't know if they always are comfortable with it or have the tools or know how. So part of our mission is to equip even pastors, like how do we have conversations about tough topics in life? And so it's encouraging them to step in and engage at that level. Because just as a counselor, David, this is the truth. The body of Christ is the only army I know of that shoots its own wounded. And sometimes we bury them before they die, and it should never be so. We have to be, at least part of the mission of the church should be as a healing location. But I tell pastors, like, you start speaking to some of this stuff and it gets word out in your community, guess what? You're going to attract people that come because they're hurting and it's not always pretty. So you have to prepare and train your congregation to say, we might have to change some diapers here, and that's okay. It's the mission of the church.
This might not be in the book. And again, friends, the book is called The Care and Counsel Handbook. But I'm wondering about the younger generation. You mentioned COVID and what happened there. People kind of isolated and so many other issues, relying on video and technology instead of human relationships. Way before that, though, Eric, I think the younger generation, I think I mentioned before we got on the podcast, you and I grew up at a time where there was no internet. And we can remember those days where we knew what go outside and play meant. But today's youth have a very different upbringing, different challenges. How has that changed as far as even your own work?
It's interesting to follow some of the research on technology and really addiction to this thing, right? We all have one of these. and getting off our technology. COVID kind of did this because younger children developmentally and through teenagers, they learn some of their social skills and relational bonding through face-to-face relationships, and we weren't congregating. I've heard some people say we've lost an entire generation of young people. Mm-hmm. And technology sort of does that. I often say we are the most technologically connected society ever, but the most relationally disconnected. And young people fight loneliness and isolation more than almost any other generation now, which is why we see depression and suicide. Suicide is the second leading cause of death among our young people after accidents. And I think some of it is because they're not connected. We were created in relationship, through relationship, and for relationship. And the enemy of our soul will do everything he can to isolate us so we don't feel connected, we don't feel loved, we don't feel supported, and then it's a gotcha moment for people. And too many of our young people are falling through the cracks because of it.
Wow, wow. You know what's funny? In that response you just gave, I had a flashback. It may have been about a month ago, maybe a couple weeks ago. I was driving home after a day of filming podcasts, and I heard you on Janet Parshall's In the Marketplace. I remember you said that because it triggered, we are the most technologically connected, but explain that again, how we are disconnected in other ways.
We are the most technologically connected, right?
Yes.
Cell phones, particular, but we are the most relationally disconnected.
Relationally disconnected.
And isolation, in my opinion, is the enemy's number one strategy to take. And leaders would do good to pay attention to that dynamic. You know, it's interesting. In I think 1 Peter 5, Peter admonishes, he says, "Be wary of your adversary, the devil, who prowls around looking for someone to devour." Mm-hmm. And the Lord, I was meditating on that, and God wouldn't let me off that scripture. And he said, "There's a word in there that you're missing," until he finally said, "He prowls around looking for someone. He rarely looks for the many. He's a coward. But he will look for the one who's isolated and cut off from support, from his word, from fellowship, and because it's an easier to take someone down."
Interesting. He masquerades as an angel of light. And by the way, in that passage, he prowls around like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Satan, not even close. But so he puts out a bit bold front. So what about a lot of people struggling with maybe world news? We are, and again, because of the iPhone, we find out what's happening around the world in a second. And we were not meant to. I don't think it's healthy to try to keep up with everything and know what's going on. So this produces feelings of being overwhelmed and maybe fearful of the future. Can you speak to that for a moment?
Well, if you don't have the full counsel of God and the flip of all the things, Jesus said what? In this world, there will be tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, you know, and he gives a peace that the world can't give. And so when we hear about scary things and wars and natural disasters and persecution of other believers, and we have nothing to bring to bear that balances it with God's word, that we have faith we can rely on in the moment to calm our spirit or our anxious heart, it's going to be difficult. And so it's all balance, right? If you're going to dive deep into all the world's troubles, are you diving deep into the Word of God to bring balance into your overall worldview?
So June Hunt wrote the foreword to the book, The Care and Counsel Handbook. Again, friends, it's going to be out in a week or so, available on Amazon, wherever you get good books. Is there a particular topic or struggle that people have had that you have personally enjoyed helping walk a Christian through? Is there something, in other words, are there a few things that you are very glad that the book addresses?
Yeah, I just as an aside, the topics of anger, anxiety, depression, fear, hope are most sought after topics. Hmm. I particularly love talking with people about self-identity and having a sense of God worth. Hmm. If people can see how God sees them, and June wrote a book called Seeing Yourself Through God's Eyes. And by the way, this book is the genesis of June's lifetime work on the Keys for a Living Library that all these topics, these 100 topics, are derived from. So not only did she write the foreword, but she is the, God gave her this model of helping people. But I love talking to people about if you can see yourself as God sees you, it's a difference maker.
Oh, and you know, you can just imagine how it changes a person's life if they could truly see how God sees us. But we are our own worst critics. Self-worth is a big issue. I'm glad you brought that up. So this book, I'm amazed. It's a massive volume. It sounds like it's not something you would sit down and read in one sitting, but it is a resource guide, a reference guide that you can go to, or if you want to help somebody. Is that, that's correct, isn't it?
That, yeah, it's a great thing to have on your shelf or your desk. You pull it out when you need it. Mm. And with 100 topics, probably you're going to need it.
Yeah. Well, we're so thankful for your time today, your expertise. Again, want to send people to hopefortheheart.org and get the book. It's available. And pastors, I would really think, would benefit from this book, especially busy pastors that maybe haven't been able to help as many people as they'd like for the reasons we already touched on earlier. Any closing thoughts in the last minute, Eric?
No, I just appreciate the opportunity to kind of get the message out, and thank you for the time, David. It just fulfills the mission to get the Word of God into people's hands and let it change people's thinking and their heart and their lives in Jesus' name.
The big word is hope. Hope for the heart. Hope, our hope in Christ. My goodness, I don't know how unbelievers, how non-Christians do it. You know, this life is all there is to a lot of people, and they don't have assurance of anything beyond this life, no assurance of salvation. We're so thankful for Christ, and books like this, a great help. Eric, thank you again for your time. God bless you, brother.
Thank you.
All right, friends, I hope you found this very, very helpful. Again, you can get the Care and Counsel Handbook on Amazon and other places. So, friends, keep sharing the podcast. We appreciate you so much. God bless you, and as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.